Lori, I've asked Lori to kick us off with prayer, and she's going to talk to us about an organization called She Is Safe. And I had mentioned at the beginning, we might throw out opportunities, not because everyone's supposed to do it, but you just never know. It might be one that you might want to connect with. And this one has to do with rescue. So how perfect for our Exodus study. So Lord, do you want to step up here or do you want to? Okay. With your back, I shouldn't have asked you to do that.
So first I want to go ahead and open us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just come before you tonight. Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you that you are almighty, that you can do all things, that you are our deliverer, our stronghold, our salvation, our rock. You're where we can run to at all times, Lord. And God, we thank you that you, in your mercy, put your arms around us figuratively, Lord, and you hold us as your children. Lord, you want to know our cries, our desperate pleas, just like your people in Israel, Lord. You call out to us. You say, come to me with your burdens. We can hand you our burdens. And we are thank you that you are not only almighty, but such a good, loving Father. Lord, we just ask, God, that you give us the Holy Spirit tonight, that you ask the Holy Spirit just to speak to us as we take in your word. We also thank you that your word endures, Lord. Everything will pass away on the earth, Lord, but not your word. Your word will stand forever. And we will take that with us into eternity, Lord, because the word is what we can rely on. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave it to us as a gift, that we are not directionless, Lord, but that you have a sovereign plan, which you have revealed to your people, Lord, and that you have shown us who you are in all your mighty attributes, God, and that each day we can look at you and say, God, today we see you as almighty. Today we might see you as the faithful Father. You always come through, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you of the times that you rescue us and save us when we don't even know we're being rescued and saved. We thank you for both your visible mercies and these invisible times that we may not see, but you are always have your eyes on us as your children. So thank you for Charlotte and speaking through her in this teaching of Exodus. We thank you for the reminder that you continue to deliver people each and every day. That you have not abandoned us, Lord, here on earth, but that you rescue and restore at all times. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Charlotte was kind enough to let me speak about an organization. Some of you who have been to Kingdom Builders may have already heard this, but we thought it was kind of timely with Exodus being about freeing God's people from slavery. I want to tell you about a local ministry that's headquartered out of Roswell, Georgia, named She Is Safe. And this is what She Is Safe is focused on. They're focused on rescuing women who have been sold into slavery, because it still happens today. You know, we often think here in America, we don't think about slavery. We think about it in terms of the past, but it happens in the present. In the darkest corners of the world, and coincidentally, where the gospel is not really known. So, She Is Safe, while they're headquartered here, they do most of their work overseas in 8 concentrated areas that are the darkest, that have the most sexual slaves. I know for y'all that attended Kingdom Builders, the CEO of She Is Safe, his name is Michelle Rickett, and she talked about one brothel in India, in North India, and this is just one that housed 30,000 sex slaves. Most of these are girls, and they're taken from their homes between ages 11 and 12. They have a societal issue there where they do not value women. Their cultural norm is that they think women are a burden. Therefore, they often result in withholding nourishment from their daughters, and again, thinking that their only value is what they can sell them for. So She Is Safe is very involved in these communities, and what they do is they use local women who are entrenched in these communities to help change this for Christ. And they rescue girls. The beautiful story of how God used COVID is that brothel with 30,000 slaves, they couldn't support everyone during COVID. No one was going, so they pushed them all out in the street. However, they pushed them into the arms of Jesus. And there's 25,000 women right now currently enrolled in different programs of She Is Safe. And She Is Safe not only offers, you know, trauma restoration. They give them Christ and the gospel and heal them. And they also help equip them so that they never have to go back to that kind of lifestyle. They look at the current markets and the areas, and they give them job skills so that these women can go out. And even the young girls can start businesses. A Syrian refugee girl, you would think refugee camps, you know, what kinds of things would they need? Obviously, you know, you're in very limited surroundings. But a little girl started a little business of embroidery and embroidering little pillows for weddings, because they still have weddings in these refugee camps. And she now has made so much that she has been able to move her family, this young child, out of the refugee camp and into an apartment. So, and supports the entire family. And that's part of what She Is Safe is doing, giving them skills, letting them go out and sustain and support themselves. So just want to let you know a bit about the mission. And then if God leads you, here's some ways that if you're interested, you can get involved. One way is a pencil pouch campaign. You may want to do this yourself or with a small group. And what you can do, and we have handouts, by the way. If you didn't get one coming in, they're right on the table next to the lessons outside. With these pencil pouches, if you get your small group to do it, you can collect the supplies, which are attached on this handout. It tells you what goes in these pencil pouches, and that's all that can go in them because of customs, etc. But and with a $5 donation, it supports shipping them overseas and also supplying undergarments to the girls, because many of them don't even have modesty garments. So when they go down to bathe, remember, they're bathing in a river. It's not like here. So they need something to give them modesty and cover them up. And it also sends a signal to people. If they see these certain, they're like pantaloons, they're very distinct. They know she's been educated by She Is Safe. They know her family's been educated by She Is Safe. So she should not be the, but they teach, and with the pencil pouches, not only does it support the undergarments going out, but they teach, they go to both boys and girls. The girls, they teach how to stay safe from predators, and the boys, they teach how to value girls so that they grow up, instead of the culture thinking that girls are a burden, they're taught that girls are a gift, and you're to protect them, never to exploit them. So that's a little bit about, it's more than just, in other words, school supplies. Like, they're getting all this extra information and extra details. The other thing you can do is volunteer at the She Is Safe office in Roswell. The other day we were handwriting thank you notes to donors. You can become an advocate and speak to groups about She Is Safe. And you can go on their website, which is simply sheissafe.org, fill out a volunteer form. They also have, of course, donations that they accept. You can even say where you want your donation to go. And there is a campaign, although it's ending, oh, wow, I guess tomorrow, the 30th. they're doubling the impact. If you go under sheissafe.org, go to Happening Now, and it'll say Middle East Refugees. And it'll say double your impact. And if you go there right now, that there's a sponsor who is doubling the donations. For She Is Safe. So those are all the ways you can get involved. And I'll be around after tonight if you're interested in talking anymore. And again, if you need an extra handout, they're definitely out here on the table. So thank you, Charlotte, for the time.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lori. It gives us, I tell you, I know it's hard for any of us to even think about those kind of things. It gives me great joy when I hear things being done about it. So let's go ahead and look at our memory verse, and we'll read that together, say it together. It's Exodus 15, 7 through 8. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. That's Exodus 15, 7 and 8. So I love walking with these memory verses and chewing on them and learning every day. I feel like there's something new popping out. One thing I loved, we saw this week how the people of Israel are having to collect stubble. Like, they wouldn't even give them straw to make the bricks, and they're finding the stubble. Well, while they were doing that, God knew oh, the real stubble is Egypt. Egypt's about to be consumed like stubble. So I just love him. I love that he overthrows his adversaries in the greatness of his majesty. There's just none like him. I also love that when we think of things that flow from his throne, they're, you know, righteousness, justice, mercy, grace, compassion. These are things that flow from him. They flow from him. But when you hear about his anger, it's often associated with almost an unleashing. Or here it says he sends out his fury. Where we have to control our temper and sometimes can't, God's emotions are perfect every time. So I love that he would send out his fury at just the right time when it's time. So I just so many things to love about him. All right, this is an old commercial. Some of y'all are too young to even know what it is, but some of you will recognize it. It'll set up our message. Okay, so for you babies out there, we heard that all the time. That was an ongoing commercial. And obviously, it was almost a saying, you know, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. So we're going to be looking at listening, and I've titled the message Listening Hearts, because what we listen to matters, what we don't listen to matters, and we can kind of say if we are what we eat, I think we will become what we think or what we hear, what we give audience to. I think of that little song, Be Careful, Little Ears, What You Hear. And I thought of Pat Reynolds, you know, picturing little preschoolers doing that. And so we want to be careful, little ears, what we hear, and also what we don't hear. We want to be sure we're listening. So what we listen to or give audience to matters, and it has consequences. So this is really a simple, simple message. And honestly, it could be a 6-week study or longer, but we're just going to kind of go over some things kind of quick. First, we're going to look at things that we do not want to listen to. So the first one is do not listen to temptation. And we're going to use Joseph as an example. That, of course, is who God used through human trafficking. He ends up in Egypt, and that's how God was going to bring in the Hebrews and the nation. So Joseph's already there, and in Genesis 39, 7 through 10, it says, and after a time, his, Joseph's, master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10, and as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. I mean, that is powerful stuff. And it's so refreshing to read of a man of such integrity who feared God, because what he's saying is, even though he was sold as a slave, this master has given him such great authority. He's made his life not so bad. And he is thankful for what he has there. He's thankful for how his master treats him. And he's not about to do this to his master. And then Joseph was a young man, and he had not been turned into a eunuch. And this was a true temptation. I mean, he could have thought, well, you know, a little of this on the side, and no one has to know, and that'll be something I can look forward to, think about during the day, which is why people fall into affairs. It sounds like it's going to be a whole lot of fun until it isn't. And so I just so love Joseph. And how did he not end up there? He didn't listen. He refused to give it audience. Refuse, refuse, refuse. So that's how we need to be with all temptation, whatever our temptation might be. And then the next one, do not listen to false accusations. And so I'm going to use some of our own text from our chapters this week. One is Exodus 5:4. It says, but the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. So he accuses them of something he's not even doing. And he called them idle at one time. And that was a false accusation. So don't listen to false accusations. As Christians in this culture, we're going to be accused of all kinds of things. hatred, you're a bigot, you're a this and that, just by reading the Word of God, just by saying what's in there. And we have to be ready to not take those false accusations. Just know they're not true. We're looking to please the Lord, and that's all that matters. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he will accuse you all day long. Do not let it. Don't listen. Just don't listen. If there ever is a true accusation, pay attention. If you have, I don't know, you grab a pack of gum and run out of the store and hop in your car, I hope by the time you get there, you feel really guilty. You should. There's a time for guilt, and that's when we're guilty. And the world wants us to not feel guilty. Don't feel guilty about anything. Well, no, guilt is put there to protect us. So that's why the Holy Spirit convicts us. You're convicted. And you know that it's sin, and you repent and turn. And but when it's false accusations or Satan brings up something from your past that's under the blood, do not listen. Do not listen. Just praise God that it's forgiven every time it comes up. All right. Third, do not listen to worldly wisdom. Oh, my goodness. Worldly wisdom is going more and more off the rails every day. Exodus 5:9, and we could have used, different verses, but this one says, let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. First of all, he's calling the truth lies, and we talk about that during our lessons, but to put heavier work on people that already can't do the work you've given them is stupid. Like, that's not a good way. That's a real good way to have your oppressed people rise up and turn on you. So this worldly wisdom of Pharaoh is pathetic. And then in Acts 4:19, I didn't put it up on the screen, but this is when it says, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. So we're going to have to watch for when laws are passed in our nation that are opposed to the laws of God, then we oppose the laws of the land. We are to obey the laws of our land unless they oppose God, and then we listen to God. And that may be coming down the pike even more seriously than it already is. So we don't listen to worldly wisdom. There's so many examples, but I'll just say it. Everyone that's saying, listen to the science, and then telling you can pick your gender, Your DNA tells your gender. Like, I can act like a boy. I can wish I was a boy. But my DNA to every tiny last cell is going to tell you I'm a girl. I mean, that's just science. So I heard, we've talked about the cancel culture, but I heard somebody, it was a well-known, TV star on a show, thinking he was being super woke. And they were talking about how kids should be free to change their gender. And he, thinking he's sounding somewhat sensible in this crazy talk, says, yeah, but, I think 3 years old is too young to choose your own gender. I mean, they turned on him, and it wasn't long before he's publicly apologizing for saying that a three-year-old shouldn't be able to choose their own gender. Are you kidding me? Like, are you hearing your apology? Are you hearing what you're saying? This is crazy. And that's why we talk about that delusion, that flood that comes out of the mouth of the dragon. In the end, it's here. We're seeing just crazy, crazy stuff. So we don't listen to worldly wisdom because we have our Father's word and we know what true wisdom is. And I will back up and say this. Obviously, we're going to be sensitive about gender dysphoria, anything that God can handle anything. We're going to be sensitive about it's rare, but a baby can be born with both reproductive systems and a parent has to make a decision. You know, we're sensitive about those things in this fallen world. So this isn't this is just speaking truth and remaining in truth and knowing that God made him male and female. And he's so good. I love his order. I love his ways. I love his wisdom. And I love that we get to talk about it and share it with other people, even in crazy town. So the next one, do not listen to the enemy, which would be the same thing as saying do not listen to lies, because that's what comes out of the enemy's mouth. I used Exodus 5:10. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh. And that really is kind of the point of what we'll read the rest of it. But thus says Pharaoh. And I love that just Sunday, Dr. Youssef mentioned that Pharaoh is a type of Satan. So when they're saying thus says Pharaoh, honestly, when people are speaking opposed to the word of God, they are speaking for the enemy. It went on to say, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So I did think of the comparison because we've kind of throughout our lessons, and I will say this, I understand, I'm wrong. I think I said, well, yeah, where we are. I noticed, like Pat mentioned last time about the blood and the Nile, and I think I said, well, yeah, like in Leviticus, what we saw in Leviticus. Well, we haven't gotten to Leviticus. That's coming up. So I know I'm going to be speaking to some things that I think we're already talking about, but it's because I've already written it, so forgive me. I'll try not to get too confusing, but what God equips us, what we have kind of woven through is two pastors. Satan is a horrible shepherd, and you do not want to be in his pasture, but that's the world is in his pasture. God is the greatest shepherd. He is so wonderful, and that's the pasture we do want to be in. So when you look at this verse, God equips us to do what he's called us to do. You know, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. It's like, get out there and do it, and I'm not going to give you what you need to do it, and you're going to suffer, and, you know, you're going to be a total loser because you'll never succeed. That's what Satan does for people. But God equips us and gives us everything we need to get out there and do the work he calls us to do. And then also about not listening to the enemy. And this is important for today's world because some churches are going off the rail. I don't have to tell you that. You see it happening. Jeremiah 23:16 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They will tell you what you hope is going to happen down the road. They'll tell, oh no, this that won't happen. God won't let that happen. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. I'll say it. I love America. I love America. I am so grateful I got to be born here and live here and be a citizen here. I love it. But I'll tell you, it is the grace of God that we still exist even a little bit because we have gone so far away from the ways of God. And I heard a pastor say it sometimes this week, say it this way. Sometimes we think, a sudden catastrophe, a sudden fall. But those dominoes have been in place for a long time. And as soon as, boop, it all comes crashing down. And I'm not saying this stuff like fear or whatever. I'm saying this because we have nothing to fear. We are walking with the Lord. He's opened our eyes to know wisdom and to know what to do. But if you happen to live in a nation when it gets judged, like these Egyptians is happening to them, it can be bad. It can be bad because God will wake people up to see that he alone is the provider and protector and the only one to be feared. And that's grace. Otherwise, people wouldn't look up. And I'm not trying to say something horrible is going to happen. I think we all can kind of see that our nation is in danger because of some of the things we do that are so opposed to God. And I tell you, there are some things that will bring God down. And killing babies is one. And we can go on, but I tell you what, you shed the blood of the innocent, and God will show up. So we want to be praying for those who have fallen for the lie, the enemy, that no, these are ways we should go, and these are things we should be doing. I have such compassion for people who believe this stuff, because it breaks my heart, and I'm so grateful. If God can open my eyes, he can open anybody's. So I have great hope that he will give us opportunity to continue to spread truth. And sometimes Satan overplays his hand. We've all seen that, where people kind of go, wait a minute. People wake up that he didn't mean to wake up. And suddenly they realize a direction that people are going is not good. So I always hope the next generation will wake up to some things. Okay, the last one on this is do not listen to circumstances. This is huge. I used Exodus 5:21. And they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge because you have made a stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people and you have not delivered your people at all. Don't we feel that way sometimes? Lord, why haven't you moved? Why haven't you shown this nation that you are God? Do something, show yourself. And God is doing everything in perfect order, in perfect timing. Y'all, he's got a plan and it is good. And it will unfold as he desires. So the most important thing here for Moses and the people who are so distraught and frustrated is the story's not over. The story is not over. And I'm telling you, God could in his mercy tomorrow bring revival to the United States of America. He could do it in a heartbeat. So we continue to cry out for that. Okay. But remember in your own circumstances, whether they're good or not so good right now, that God is all over it. Keep crying out to him. Keep discussing it with him. Keep talking to him about it. And know that the story's not over. If you're still living and breathing, that your story's not over. Okay, so what we do want to listen to, obviously, is the Lord. We want to listen to the Lord. We want to hear his word. I listed some things here that is just not even just the tip of the iceberg. When we listen to the Lord, we hear truth, wisdom, exhortation, which is building up. We're built up. Encouragement, right direction, and on and on and on and on. So we want to be listening to truth. We want it pumped in us. We need the truth pumped in because I tell you, the lies of the world are coming fast and hard, and we need to keep that noise down and keep the truth of God in our hearts and our minds. Okay, John 10:16, Jesus says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." So that's a symptom of someone who is truly his. They hear his voice. They don't listen to the voice of the dragon. They listen to the voice of the true shepherd, Christ. Acts 3:22 and 23, because it speaks of Moses, and of course we're studying Moses right now in the book of Exodus. It says, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.'" So there's warning there. There's warning. Listen to him. But for those who don't, it's going to be bad. So along with that warning, I didn't put them on the screen, but I grabbed a few more verses. One is Jeremiah 13:15-17. "No one will be able to say, 'Well, God didn't tell me,' or 'God didn't tell us.' He has made it clear." Jeremiah 13:15-17 says, "Hear and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble. On the twilight mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." So that's a warning. We need to listen to him. We don't want to not listen. And then Malachi 2:2 in a similar fashion. "If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart." So that's some serious warning, and that's why we pray for each other. We pray for our country. We keep our eyes on the Lord, and we pray for nations to fear him and turn to him. The bottom on the screen there says, "Beware of what can cause us to not listen." Because here we are hearing, we need to hear the Lord. We all agree. We all want to listen to the Lord, should listen to the Lord. So what are some things that could cause us to not listen? "An exit voice, and let Israel go," says, "but Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go.'" Well, that's the world. The world doesn't want to listen to God because the world does not know God. And that's why we pray for people to be saved. We want them to hear the gospel and come on board with the kingdom train. But those that are in the world, they don't know God. They're not going to listen to him. So not knowing him is one thing that can keep us from listening to him. Exodus 6:9 says, "Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery." And so we talk about that in our lessons as well, that those hard times can be tough and they can cause us to actually turn and stop listening to the one who has the comfort and the answer and the one we need to lean into. I love Dr. Youssef one time described it like this: these things that come into our life, pressures, hardships, these things, they will either press us, this is what we want them to do, press us closer to the Lord, or they can wedge between us and the Lord. And it's our choice. So that's why, even especially with what I've been going through, I am very aware that resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, those things could take me down and they could wedge between me and the Lord. So I have asked him to protect me, keep me, help me to walk through this without those things growing in me. And I won't do it perfectly. I don't do anything perfectly, but he does and he can, and he can help us with those things. So if you're battling any kind of bitterness, anger, things that you can tell, this isn't healthy for me, go to the Lord, press into him and say, Lord, I'm holding on to you and you're going to heal me of this. You're going to help me. We're going to walk with it. I'm not letting go of you until we're through this, and just press into him. And then John 10:20, man, they're talking about Jesus here. It says, many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Can you believe that's in the Bible? Because it sounds so much like culture today. You're crazy. Y'all are crazy. I have a friend, it's so dear, she tells her children, because I can't even imagine if your kids are tiny, raising kids right now with all of the voices out there, but God has given wisdom. He's showing us how to do that. But she will say to her kids, we're not crazy. We're not the crazy people. Jesus is true. He is real, and we serve him, and we're not crazy. And I love that. And that's, we may be telling each other that more and more as we move forward. But So a final reminder is the Lord will call us to speak. He will call us to share things. And that doesn't mean people are going to listen. So just because someone doesn't listen, don't think, well, I must have missed God. I wasn't supposed to say that. No, some didn't listen to Jesus. So they're certainly not going to listen to us. And if they love him, they will. If they don't, if they hate him, they want to stay in the world, then they won't listen. Okay, so finally, as we think about who to listen to, the Lord, our lion and our lamb, the Lord graciously gives us wisdom when, I believe this is when, okay, I won't guess because it's different places in different gospels, but I'll just tell you what Luke 9:35 says. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. Some versions say, hear him. And so that's something we want to be sure and do. God has said, listen to Jesus, listen to him. And so with that said, we've seen the Lord tell Moses to tell the people that I am has sent you. You know, what is your name? Tell them I am Jesus, and we've looked at that name. So as we think of the Lord saying, listen to Jesus, which is why we just eat up the Gospels and the entirety of the Word, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so Genesis to Revelation, we just eat it up. But in John 8:57-58, Jesus is dealing with religious leaders that are just not listening and don't want to hear, have no interest in what he's saying. And so they say, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I love that. I just love that. That is so powerful. And when you think of the whole kingdom plan from beginning to end, don't you love spots in it where you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, because we've seen that in Exodus, and that was huge. So as we will continue after our song, we'll get still and quiet again. If anyone feels to pray out loud, do. If not, no problem. And then we'll head into our discussion to continue to hear him, to continue to listen. But now we'll listen to our song. We thank you so much that you speak to us. And Lord, do keep our ears listening. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And I pray we won't miss anything that you have planned for tonight. Thank you so much for meeting us here. Not only meeting us here, but already orchestrating and knowing exactly what you desire to accomplish here. I pray that in every one of our hearts, you'll accomplish those things that need to get done, and that you will draw us near and near to you, that we would just be just absolutely obsessed with you, that you would be our full and total satisfaction. And we just praise you and thank you for all that you're teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.